This is Doug LaFollette, Secretary of State, calling your order on March 3rd at 2 o'clock, the meeting of the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands. For the record, I and the AG are present, and the treasurer is on the phone. Some board staff members and the public are also present. Before beginning the official meeting, I would like to have a minute on personal privilege. I've served on this board for over 30 years with both Republican and Democratic attorney generals and state treasurers. Until recently, the board has always functioned smoothly and efficiently, dealing with relevant board business, generating millions of dollars for Wisconsin schools, and recently consolidating the land holdings with the tool of land bank authority. I have been disheartened in the recent times with the turn of events, and I strongly urge my fellow commissioners to return to the uncontentious and productive manner in which we've always functioned. And I promise to do my best to facilitate this. Thank you. Today we have a unique situation. The board is presented with two alternative agendas. The first includes the normal board decision items, a report from the staff, and a new item called future agenda items, which was added to allow any board member to request an item or request the staff to do something that would be placed on a future agenda. The second includes those items plus several requests from the state treasurer, including many attachments. It was my understanding from the last meeting that we agreed that if a board member wished to discuss an issue or request research to be performed by the staff, they would make such a request under the future agenda items item. The board then would decide if such items should be placed on a future meeting agenda. And if the items were approved, they would be given to the staff by noon, the Monday before the meeting. Apparently, there was some misunderstanding by some commissioners, and several items and many attachments were submitted for this meeting. Thus, we have Agenda B. In the spirit of working together, I'm willing to support taking up Agenda B at this time. I do so with the understanding that in the future, the board will follow the procedure discussed at our last meeting, namely, that a board member wishing to discuss an issue or request research to be formed by our staff make such a request under the future agenda items item. The board will then decide if such items should be placed on a future agenda. And if items are approved, they would be given to the staff by noon, the Monday before the meeting. I feel this is completely in keeping with both allowing the commissioners to make requests and allowing the board to manage its proceedings and give the staff time to prepare our agendas. In that spirit, I would make the motion to clarify that so there's no misunderstanding. The motion I would like to make is, if a board member wishes to discuss an issue or request research to be formed by our staff, they may make such a request under the future agenda items item. The board will then decide if such items should be placed on a future meeting agenda. And if items are approved, they will be given to the staff by noon, the Monday before the meeting. Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second the motion. For purposes of discussion, this is Brad Schimmel.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay to discuss the motion, but so, I mean, if Brad didn't want to second it, I could second it, but I want to discuss the motion.
Okay, we have it seconded by the Attorney General. Before we vote, is there any discussion?
If possible, I'd just make a few quick comments.
Let me start the discussion, primarily because I made the motion, and that's sort of the way things happen sometimes. I think I made it quite clear in my opening comments that my concern is this board smoothly and efficiently function, and that we handle the important business of this board. And if there are other items that need to be brought up, they shouldn't be brought up as surprises or quick or give the staff trouble in trying to accommodate those requests in a very short time. And because of that, we discussed this at the last meeting, and I have the minutes of that meeting, actually, and it seemed pretty clear to me from those minutes that we sort of agreed to this in a kind of a formal acknowledgement that we would do this. But in order to make it clear, I thought I would make such a motion, and hopefully I can get support so we can do this in a regular and routine way and not be upset by things coming in and surprising us.
I agree with the spirit of what you're proposing. My debate would just be whether Monday preceding the meet of the week preceding the meeting might be a little quick because we'll have just met the previous Tuesday. So to have my materials for the, if I had some materials to submit, I've got to get them ready in less than a week after our last meeting. So I just think maybe we might look at a different week, different day that we.
That's a fair question, and I'll let Tia. Could we have some flexibility there?
Yeah, Vicki asked for noon on Monday because of the voluminous nature and the fact that documents were needing to be scanned and indexed, downloaded, itemized, and it was becoming challenging for her to manage the volume of paper that was being submitted later. Because it has been our practice when routine matters were before the board typically to put out the board agenda on Thursday. When there were other matters, if it was just loan items or straightforward matters, we tried to give the board an extra day, and all of our board agendas are more complicated these days. So, I mean, if you guys don't want the board agenda on Wednesday, then, you know, I mean, we could send it out Thursday, if that's enough time for you guys, even when there's other things, and then we'll send out the agenda a day later and then move the deadline to Tuesday.
Well, that's a fair question. It's sort of whether we'd like an extra day to study the future agenda or whether we would like more time to prepare things if we want to submit them. And I will let you decide, Brad. If you do want to move that Monday to a Tuesday or keep it on Monday?
Well, to put it on Tuesday, that splits it right down the middle.
Okay.
I guess
we should get if Vicki has a full 24 hours, I think I'm looking at Vicki to nod her head because I don't do it. So, and I'm trying to be. It's my staff I'm worried about.
I think in order to expedite that, I would revise my motion.
This is Matt Adams. I was trying to talk. I have not been able to speak yet.
Just a moment, let me revise the motion, and we'll discuss the motion as it will be in 10 seconds. Without repeating the whole thing, because it's on the record, I will change the noon Monday to noon Tuesday before the meeting. So now, and that's now the motion. Matt, you wanted to discuss it?
Well, I guess first and foremost, this last week, things were said that we had discussed and had finalized an agenda policy for, you know, submitting materials. And I guess first and foremost, we did no such thing. I'm okay to do that and pick a date where we know. I mean, I would have thought this would have been policies we would have adopted on our first couple meetings. And I guess what I'd say is, I don't know if it makes a lot of sense. I was the one that personally specifically said add the stuff about the, you know, upcoming agenda. I kind of thought that would be more if we were in a meeting and something kind of popped up in our head we wanted to think about, we should be able to, you know, say, okay, let's talk about it next time. I didn't say that was the only way. If we're voting like a meeting before for 2 weeks before whether or not to put something even on the agenda, that's like we're voting on it before it's even been come up. I think we have a firm deadline on when anything needs to be added and materials added, and I think a week in advance, even the Monday, whatever, if it's a firm agenda to add either the agenda itself item and the materials with it. But I think doing it 2 full weeks in advance, it just, I mean, what if you think of something a week, you know, I mean, it just, I mean, going forward, I'll have a lot less, to be honest, so it won't be as big of a deal for me. But I think we don't have a policy as a board. And I think that being told this last week that the policy had been, that was not the case. In the last conversation, which was February 3rd, when this first was discussed, neither the Attorney General or myself said a single word. We didn't say that's a good policy, we accept that. And furthermore, Secretary of State La Follette, he never specifically said this is our official position, because I would have objected at that time. So that's my real concern. I'm okay with picking a date, as long as we know going forward that that's the date.
Okay, I don't see any reason to rehash spilt milk. The issue is now, do we want to establish a procedure that hopefully can work? I would say, in the spirit of cooperation here, if we find after a number of weeks or months that this is having an undue burden, we can revise it. But I think this is a good start to try to set up a procedure that we can work with. And therefore, I would urge support from my motion.
I guess one last question. So is the motion, I'm okay with the Tuesday getting materials to the board that's a week early. Okay, I get that. That makes sense. So let's say 2 p.m. on the Tuesday. I don't know if you want to give a specific time since Tuesdays are vague.
The motion says noon Tuesday.
Okay, sorry, I missed that. I apologize. But I guess my question is that for also putting a simple, any agenda item? If I want to talk about an agenda on, you know, land that we own in, you know, Oneida County, so you're saying I can only do it if we put it on the agenda the one before. So basically, today's March 3rd, I'd have to put something on today for March 17th.
Well, I think that's the concept because, you know, in my experience over the years is the board has a number of fairly routine activities.
Mm-hmm.
If something abnormal comes up, like a very strange kind of a sale or something, the staff can put it on the agenda because that's their job. If one
mm-hmm.
of us has something special, I've never seen anything that was an emergency that couldn't wait until the next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Brad, please.
Sorry, Matt, if I jumped in front of you. I think it makes sense to keep the future agenda items as part of our regular agenda, because we want to be careful not to open up conversations that we didn't post as part of the meeting. So that gives us a reminder we can talk about what we might want to talk about at the next meeting. But the deadline for getting something on the agenda, I think, should be that Tuesday at noon. I don't think that the I agree with the treasurer that we don't need to be deciding what's on the next agenda 2 weeks in advance. So I think we just have the deadline. The motion is that the deadline be noon on the Tuesday in between the two meetings, and I think that's all the motion needs to be.
So, excuse me, Attorney General, I think what you're saying is all agenda items, whether it's materials or addition of agenda items, are we saying that we do that the Tuesday, so basically a full week and 2 hours before our normally scheduled meetings?
Yes.
I mean, that makes sense to me. I'm a little concerned with having to, the way you put your first motion, I think, sir, was that we would be voting on the current meeting, you said, to put agenda items on there. I don't think we should vote to put agenda items on 2 weeks in advance because that doesn't give us the opportunity to talk about the agenda item. All we could mention is the agenda item. We legally couldn't probably go into what we want to talk about. So I think I think it makes sense if, you know, 2 weeks from now, you know, Secretary of State La Follette or I want to talk about Oneida County land, you know, if we have it, yeah, we'll talk about it, but it's not a requirement. I think the Tuesday before at noon makes a lot of sense.
Well, there are two parts to the motion. One is the Tuesday time noon to get documents to the staff. The other one is the fact that the board needs to make the decision whether we will or will not discuss certain items or whether we will or will not ask the staff to spend their time doing research. And I think that's a very important part of my motion because this board is run by the board, not by individual commissioners. If I want something, I don't get what I want. The board decides if we should do something. And that's why I think it's critical to have smooth proceedings of this board, that if someone wants to bring up some item which is not typical and not part of the normal work of this board, they need to bring it up and the board needs to say, okay, that makes sense. Let's talk about it at the next meeting. Or, no, that's irrelevant. We're not going to go into that. I think that's an important part of making this board run smoothly. Brad?
Well, I don't agree with that. I just think that we're voting 2 weeks in advance on a topic we haven't discussed. I know what you're saying, sir, but, and again, I agree, no one commissioner runs this. You need at least two, prefer, you know, a lot of cases, three commissioners. I just think that it makes sense. If you were to ask the board staff, Commissioner La Follette, for information, it's my belief you sure should get it. I mean, if you want to know numbers on land sales in Oneida County, I don't think that's too much to ask. But that being said, I think one week.
I don't agree. I don't think that that any one commissioner should ask the staff to spend time finding some statistics about this or that, or and under your wish, any commissioner could come in at 10 minutes to noon and say, here's an agenda item, or here are four or five.
Oh, I did not say that, sir. I'm okay with 1 week in advance. That's fine with me. Sir, what you're saying, Commissioner La Follette, I don't think we're disagreeing on some of this. If you're saying that the whole commission has to approve the commissioner just knowing information, which again is almost all public information, I don't agree with that at all. All three of us are equally responsible for running this board. I mean, no one person is more important than the other. We're all three equal. And I think it's important that if a commissioner, whether it's yourself, Attorney General Schimmel, or I, want to know information, the only way we can get the information is from the VCPL staff. I don't have staff that work on this. None of you have staff that work on this. The staff are there in a function to help us get information so we can make educated decisions about what we're trying to do with this $1 billion trust fund, which is quite important.
Yeah, I understand. And
I'd like to call a question.
Brad?
I'd like to call a question. We've got to resolve this issue.
I understand.
I've got other obligations.
Okay, so the question's been called under the rules, therefore we have to vote. All in favor of approving the motion, say aye.
I just like to clarify. The motion is that agenda items and materials need to be submitted by noon on the Tuesday in between the meetings. Is that
no, the motion is the motion I made, which includes the part that the treasurer doesn't agree to.
Okay, then can we just move this on? What the Attorney General just said is what I agree with. Should we vote on yours, Doug, and then we can move on? What the Attorney General just said makes sense. I'd like to vote on that version. I don't support the one you mentioned, sir.
And I disagree strongly because
the
commissioner should be able to do this. I don't agree. A majority of the board, two commissioners, decide what the board does, not one commissioner.
Well, can we vote then on the motion as the Secretary of State has proposed it?
Well, we sort of have to under the rules. So the vote is on the motion as I proposed and changed Monday to Tuesday. All in favor say aye. All opposed, I vote aye. All opposed say nay.
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 So that motion failed. I presume Brad wants to make a motion.
I do. I make a motion that in order for items to be on the agenda for any particular Tuesday, they must be submitted by noon of the Tuesday before. By any one commissioner can have an item placed on the agenda.
I second that motion.
Okay, we have a discussion. Let me ask Brad this question. Does that mean that a commissioner can come in on Monday, say, and say, I want this on the item, and I want you to spend all these hours coming up with all this information and all these attachments and scan all these documents, which takes a lot of staff time?
The staff can't be expected to work miracles. They can do the best they can. If the task is not possible by that following, in the time frame to have it ready for that meeting and have enough notice under the open meeting law, then they can't get it done.
And if some commissioner brings before Tuesday noon items which some commissioners don't feel are germane or appropriate, there's no way to.
We would vote on it at the next hearing.
There's no way to deal with that then.
At the next meeting, if two commissioners didn't want to do something, we could table anything.
Well, I guess that would be a sort of a backdoor solution. Is when we got to that requested item, if some commissioner feels it's inappropriate, they can move it to be tabled.
That makes sense.
If it got two votes, that would happen.
Correct.
How does that sound to you, Brad? It's kind of a way around it.
I think that's how the rules of running a good meeting work.
Okay. We have a motion by the Attorney General on the table. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Passed unanimously. Okay. So now we have the question of whether we should take up agenda item A or B, I'm willing to move that we take up B. As I said in my opening remarks, I'm comfortable with that.
I would second that motion.
Pardon?
I second your motion.
Okay, so moving on to agenda item B. In order to save time and paper,
I think you need a vote.
Okay, all in favor of taking up item B, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. In order to save time and paper, the staff did not duplicate items 3 through 8 in agenda B. So we'll deal with those under the paperwork of agenda item A, because they also are under B, but that makes sense, I think. Okay. The first item is approving the minutes of the February 17th board meeting.
I move to approve the minutes.
I second that.
Any discussion? Any additions or corrections? I looked at them, and they are sort of as I remember. There's some disagreement on some of the points, but not curious, I guess. In that case, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Next item is to approve loans. We have 5 loans on the agenda for a little over $1 million. As I always ask, have these been looked at for public purpose?
They have.
In that case, I entertain a motion to approve 5 loans.
I move to approve the 5 loans.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passed unanimously. The next item is a staff analysis of the Land Bank Authority impact of a legislative proposal that is working its way through the process. We asked at the last meeting that the staff prepare sort of analysis of that, and Rich, who is with us today, has prepared a summary, which we've all had a chance to read. I would ask Rich to summarize that, if he would, and answer any questions that the board might have.
Secretary LaFollette, Commissioner? I don't know if the Attorney General wants to, I'd prefer if we could just move through it, unless there's a specific motion to vote on something. I'm okay to read it. I don't necessarily agree with some or a lot that's in here, but, if we want to talk about the bill, I don't know if we need to have staff talk for 20 minutes.
So, well, you're saying you don't want to hear any discussion of this?
Well, I think if you or myself or the Attorney General want to discuss something on it, we've all had the material, we could discuss it. Once we turn it over to staff, sometimes it tends to take up a lot of time. I'm assuming the Attorney General's time is valuable.
Okay, I got it. Brad, what is your pleasure?
I've read the materials that were included, so I don't need those repeated, but if there is additional insight that can be offered,
do any commissioners have any questions of the staff about this report? Maybe that's a better way to proceed.
I guess, could I just say something? This is an LRB, but that's...
Wait a minute, Matt. I think Brad...
I'm done.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought Brad was saying he had a question. Matt, do you have a question?
No, I don't. I'm just going to say something quick. We have your analysis here. I think the Attorney General has it to look over. You have it. I have it to look over. I guess what I'd say is I'd prefer if the staff at the BCPL right now don't communicate with legislative members in regards to being pro or con, or that includes media as well, about this bill until the three of us, or at least one of us, wants to make a motion, I think, in favor or opposed to the bill. I wouldn't be surprised if the Attorney General Schimmel just wants to look the information over. I kind of do. I don't want to take a position on it right now. What I don't want is staff lobbying the legislature against this bill unless we've, at least two of us, have agreed we're opposed to it.
Okay, we hear that. On my notes, I was going to, at the conclusion of this item, which I think we're there, I was going to say that, as I understand it, no bill has been introduced yet. So I would suggest that we continue to watch this and see what the progress is. And eventually, I think the board should consider a motion concerning this legislation, because it has a major impact on us. And I would ask the staff to keep us appraised of how that is proceeding. Okay. Next item is item number 6. It's a sale to Forest County of 40-acre piece of land It's been looked at, and we have all the attachments and all the maps and everything here. It's a pretty straightforward deal. I'd ask for a motion to approve the sale of 40 acres to Forest County.
I can make a motion in a second on that. I'm okay generally with this. Is Matt Adamczyk. I'm okay with.
Did you move to approve that?
Yes, I'll move to approve it.
Brad?
Second.
Okay. Discussion?
I'll just be brief. It's a land sale. I'm okay with selling land. It's in our constitutional mission. Obviously, this goes under the land bank. It's my understanding, obviously, the staff can't buy land without our approval. So since we're not buying land, I'm okay with this one completely.
Any other discussion? If not, all in favor of this sale, say aye.
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 Aye. Passed unanimously. Okay, the next item is the proposed land exchange that we discussed at some length at the last meeting, and the Attorney General wanted to spend some time finding out more information about this, so he moved that it be put on the table, and the board voted to put that on the table. Do I have a motion at this time to take this item off the table?
Yes, I'll move to untable the item, and we can have the discussion.
Is there a second?
I mean, for the discussion, I'm okay to discuss things. That's fine, yes.
So, seconded by the State Treasurer. As I understand this issue, at some length we discussed before, my understanding of the situation is that this was a somewhat complicated deal that sort of fell into place. There is some misunderstanding or disagreement possibly on the question of whether you have a sale and a purchase or whether you have an exchange. That is probably mostly semantic. It's my thinking, having looked at this and having listened to the discussion at the last meeting, that this might have been explained a little better in the beginning. But this all started under a previous board, and a lot of time and money has gone into it. It's basically a positive thing to have happen. It doesn't cost us any money, and it gives us a piece of improved land. So based on that, I would hope that we could approve this, quote, exchange. And the motion on the table now, which was made and seconded, is to approve this. And now there's time for more discussion. Brad, you wanted to speak, look like.
Yes, and in between last meeting and this, I did have an opportunity to talk with the two legislators who contacted the commissioners regarding this particular exchange. I don't know at this point whether a bill has been introduced or what stage it's at. They assure me that they are planning to move forward with legislation that would modify authority of DCPL to purchase additional land. That's a policy decision that's bigger than this board. They're planning to make they're at least pursuing a statutory change. And because that is their intention, and they've asked that we not complete this exchange at this time, I'd make a motion that we go ahead with the sale of the land that we've determined is not useful to us, but do it as an outright sale rather than the exchange.
I'll second.
Wait. I'm trying to stick to procedure here. And we actually can't do that motion until we get rid of the earlier motion, but I can handle that. I guess we should vote on that motion to be proper. So the motion on the table is to do the exchange. And all in favor of that, say aye. I will say aye, as I explained before. I think we should get this over with. All opposed, say no.
No.
So the motion failed. Now it's possible to make a new motion, Brad.
Okay. Then I make the motion that we proceed and attempt to complete the sale of the land that was proposed.
120 acres, I believe, yeah.
I'm okay with that. I'll second the motion.
And I presume, okay, there's a motion made and seconded. Do I understand from your motion, Brad, that you wish the staff not to proceed on the purchase of the 40 acres?
Yes.
Which would mean that it basically would be sort of putting this exchange away and starting a new process to purchase, I'm sorry, to sell the land. That's your idea.
Yes.
Okay.
Just to clarify,
I'm not arguing, yeah.
It was my understanding from the discussion at the previous meeting that the person who was going to purchase this parcel from BCPL was going to have to go purchase the other land to be part of the exchange. It wasn't something that the purchaser already owned.
Yes, if I could clarify. Purchaser of the 120 acres was buying the 40 acres on our behalf, but it didn't require them to go through any of the procedures that they would be required to go through with us. So they had an agreed upon value. For the seller, he has deferred $10,000 in timber income because he stopped his timber sale at our request. And the buyer wanted to do this as a trade because that is historically how they have worked with us, and it guarantees a price for them. So I understand if people don't want to proceed, but I can tell you that there is a loss to the person that was selling the property to us, and it is completely unclear whether the buyer will proceed if we reach this agreement.
Thank you. Brad, as the maker of the motion, do you have any questions or further discussion? I'll give you that.
I wanted to give you the opportunity to say something.
Okay, so given that we have a motion to ask the staff to proceed with the potential sale of the 120-acre piece, from what Tia said, that may not work out, but at least they can pursue that.
We certainly can.
Under this motion. All in favor say aye.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Can I go for the council?
Quick point of clarification.
This is Tom speaking.
Thank you, Chairman. This would be proceed by sealed bid sale then?
We have to go to public auction.
Public auction
or sealed?
Sealed bid or public auction. I just want to make sure that we're going to a sealed bid
and
sale.
Brad, you're okay with that? That's on the normal procedure?
That's what we'd have to do. I have great reluctance to have us back out of something that's all but a closed deal, but it isn't a closed deal. We've been asked by individuals who do participate in making policy decisions for us to the legislature to not proceed.
I understand.
So I don't like this. I regret that we're put in this position, but I don't want to be trying to bypass the legislature by acting before they can.
It's, as they say, it's a sticky wicket, as they say.
Yeah.
Tom German's point was only that we can't just sell it. We have to go through the proper legal procedure of a sealed bid kind of process, which the staff can pursue. And I would guess if things come up that make this complicated, I presume at the next board meeting we would hear about that. That seems to be sensible. We were in the middle of a vote. Let's try again. All in favor of this motion say aye.
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 And I'll vote no just to be consistent. Okay. I think the next item is, if I understand the world correctly here, is the executive secretary's report.
Mr. Chairman, this is Matt Adams. I'm assuming we're going to be on a limited time frame. I'm just wondering how long number 8 is going to take, because I do have a few things to say about number 9 and 10.
I was simply going to report that I met with Oneida County to offer our land for sale to them last Friday. I'd invited Mr. Demchak to that meeting. He was unable to attend. They appear uninterested in a purchase. They might be interested in a trade. I'll keep you posted. That's my report.
That's it. Okay. Now we're going to go to item 10. No, I'm sorry. Item 9, first of all. Pardon me here. I'm shuffling between A and B. Item 9, which is on agenda item B. We finished the first part of B using the material from A, as I described. Item 9, it was requested by the state treasurer. It's a discussion of a possible vote on the board chair. I presume Matt would like to speak to that.
I'll just speak very briefly, Doug. Excuse me, Mr. Secretary. In regards to the board chair, I just have one real concern that would make me possibly down the road want to make a change. I don't necessarily need a change, sir. I assume yourself wants to stay on as chair. My major concern is with how, sometimes in our meetings that the DCPL staff members, and I'm talking for the entire meeting. A few meetings back, for example, I noticed that the Attorney General and myself said literally a few words the entire meeting where staff spoke for about 20 minutes. And I guess I'd say staff can contact commissioners directly and email us directly. Time at our public meetings, I believe, should be focused primarily on the three elected commissioners speaking, as this is really the only time that we can publicly speak. Obviously, we can't speak privately anywhere. So if we have questions for the staff, obviously we expect them to answer them, hopefully succinct and in a brief manner. And I'll just give an example. At our last meeting, as well as today, a BCPL staff member interrupted a roll call as we were actually voting, and I don't think that's appropriate. So I guess I'd ask Commissioner LaFollette if he'd be willing to agree to try to make sure that our meetings are focused on the commissioner speaking. Obviously, staff will answer questions when we have them, but kind of focus on commissioner speaking so that the time doesn't get away from us. And other than that, I guess I'd throw it over to you. I don't really have a specific motion on item number, I guess this is 9.
Okay, so I guess that takes care of item number 9.
Does that make sense to you?
I might briefly say that I value our staff's time and experience. I presume they would always be as brief and succinct as they possibly can.
No, and I don't disagree with that. And remember, the staff work for the three of us here. We have to rely upon them for work. I'm only saying in our actual meetings, sometimes people go on and on. I'm only saying, I'll listen to you, sir, because we can't talk anywhere else. I can't talk to Attorney General Schimmel, and I can't talk to yourself. So that's all I'm saying.
Okay, thank you. I'm not sure how to respond to that. All right, item number 10 is the next item. This is also requested by the state treasurer, and it includes 13 sort of sub-items. Each one is accompanied by attachments. The first item is an email from Tia Nelson to me. And I guess the way to proceed here on each of these is to let Matt briefly tell us why he requested this.
I guess I'll try to be as brief as possible here. I do have a decent bit to say, but I guess I'd ask my fellow commissioners just to give me a few minutes to share my concerns as quickly as possible, and then we can open up for discussion. I guess first and foremost, my view of the executive secretary duties at the BCPL. I see the executive secretary as an at-will employee that serves at the discretion of the three elected members. So basically our political appointee to handle the day-to-day operations of the board. I think it's fair to say that the executive secretary in some ways has three bosses, the attorney general, the secretary of state, and myself. And I as a commissioner would like to see an executive secretary that focuses 100% of the time on BCPL business and mostly regarding managing our trust fund money, as we are a billion-dollar trust fund. I'd also like to see the executive secretary treat all three commissioners as complete equals and not treat any one commissioner differently. I don't know how many members, people listening right now, I understand I'm not there, know of a guy named Bob Lang over at Fiscal Bureau. He recently received a really nice write-up in the Milwaukee Journal. And I guess I'd say he's a numbers person, and almost every single person I've ever met has said that he does his job in a completely nonpartisan, by-the-book fashion. That would be the type of person I'd like to have as our BCPL executive secretary. Now, that takes us to our current executive secretary, Tia Nelson. and I have a few concerns regarding her work. There's really three specific concerns, and I'll try to touch on them briefly. One.
Wait, let me interrupt with procedure. Are you saying that you want to sort of discuss this whole packet as a package? I was trying to go through each item one by one and let you talk about each one. You're obviously talking about more than item number one.
They're really there for a reference for you gentlemen, the other two commissioners, to have seen and read, because obviously you can get them before the meeting. I don't have a way to email you guys stuff, so this is typically the way I put them on there. I might briefly touch on them, but if I talk quickly, I can get through this so we don't have to be here for 20 minutes.
So you're saying you want to discuss all 13 items sort of as a package rather than discuss each one of them?
Yes, I'll just kind of roll through the concept of what my concerns are.
All right, well, I then please try to focus that. And then let me ask this before you start. Is this a preload to a motion on your part or just information?
Yes, sir, it is.
Pardon?
Yes, you're correct.
I ask you an either-or question. Is it a preload to a motion or just information?
No, I'd like to make a motion at some point, yes.
Okay, then... Brad, are you comfortable with that approach to discuss this whole 13 things at once?
Sure. It's the treasurer's agenda item. I'm comfortable letting him manage it how he sees fit.
Good. Okay. Fine with me. Matt, proceed.
Okay. Thanks, Doug.
Let me urge you to be as brief as possible. I know the Attorney General.
I will try. I promise you that.
Time frame here. Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, my three concerns kind of fall into three categories. Number one, I view it as time not spent doing DCPL business. And I found in some of the emails that you sent, and actually I sent a packet today, which was more, you know, inclusive, but I found at least 20 instances where TIA took DCPL state time while not conducting DCPL business, which I view personally as time theft, which I see, frankly, as grounds for an immediate termination. There are times, for example, that TIA testified in D.C. on a hyperpartisan bill on global warming, and then she also testified in Wisconsin at the state capitol, again, all on state time, but this not being BCPL business. It's my belief that lobbying Congress or the state legislature or on other hyperpartisan bills about global warming has nothing to do with the BCPL. Our job is to give loans and make money for trust funds. Furthermore, I received from the PSC 19 dates that TIA is listed as an attendee that generally started in the morning and they ended in the afternoon. These were all Governor Doyle's task force on global warming. All of these meetings were done on BCPL state time, and TIA, I believe, had no business being there, as, again, global warming has nothing to do with BCPL. And, you know, I don't care to discuss the merits of global warming. The fact is simple. That it has nothing to do with making money for K-12 kids or UW students. And again, I see this as a huge example of wasted money on our part. So that's kind of problem one. Problem two would be my second major concern is that under the BCPL, under Tia Nelson, the board has kind of been fixated on some land issues up north. I believe we spend about half our budget or about $750,000 per year, dealing with timber sales up north as well as the land sales up north. And yet the only revenue that we get on our northern assets of timber and trees and so forth is the timber sales. So, for example, last year we made $467,000 on timber, but yet by my calculations we spent about half of our yearly budget or $750,000. Now I understand Tia will disagree with those, but even using a number she sent all three of us, in 2010 she even wrote to us that the BCPL lost $167,000 dealing with timber that year. Now, in subsequent years, they might have made a little bit of money, I get that, but I don't expect on a $100 million asset, give or take some money, that we would ever lose money. We should never lose money. So that's kind of my second concern. And then my third concern that I have, I guess, has to do with what I consider an executive secretary that's not focused on listening to the board's views. I see it as that in quite a few instances, T has acted without the constitutionally required board's input. The three elected commissioners are the Attorney General, the Secretary of State, and myself. And the three of us are 100% responsible for the BCPL. And let me give you just a few examples where I was honestly surprised that T has been acting without board approval. Again, item one would be the recent bill by Representative Sanfilippo and Dave Craig. We've talked about it a little bit. My point being, there was no reason for Tia, what I would consider her, you know, trashing the bill, working against the bill. We had never, as a commission, spoke. So when Tia contacted, you know, Representative Sanfilippo's office to say that the bill was bad for us, for all she knew, all three commissioners supported the bill. I generally do. I don't know where the other two, you other two are. But my point being, we had never discussed it. And I don't expect to have a staff member working out of turn without talking to us. We are the commissioners. And, you know, when I talked to Representative Sanfilippo on the phone a couple days after that, or the next day, he said, is this the board's view? And I said, no, it's not the board's view. We've never even discussed it. Secretary La Follette, Attorney General Schimmel, and myself, at that point, had never discussed the bill. So that's a big concern. Also, at our very last meeting, she had said that she wanted to talk to the governor's administration about, you know, budget cuts that the governor had proposed. And I guess my question would be is, why is we, you know, the board here, the three commissioners, we haven't discussed it. I fully support Governor Walker's budget cuts. So I don't know why she'd be working against that without talking to us. And then the third example, which is something that honestly hits home to me, will be that last session, Tia Nelson worked really hard against AJR 48. That last session was the amendment to eliminate the state treasurer's office. It's a bill that I specifically ran on. And last session, I know firsthand that Tia lobbied actively against it without any board action. The board never took an opinion. If the Secretary of State, meaning yourself, or at that point Treasurer Shuler, if they wanted to work against the bill, obviously they could. They're elected people. But instead, Tia was working against it, and the board had never voted on it. And I'm very concerned that that would happen again this year. It's now SJR 4 and AJR 5. But again, Tia lobbied against it last time. I'm assuming she's going to do it again this time. And, you know, I guess that really kind of gets to the crux of my concerns. I'll go to my conclusion on it. And I'm sorry I talked quite a bit here, but I simply don't support Tia as our executive secretary. I don't care to have as my political appointee to this board a person that I consider committing time theft, somebody that loses money on behalf of our beneficiaries, and furthermore is lobbying on legislation or issues without any board input. Instead, I want to hire a new executive secretary that treats all commissioners fairly. I would expect that if we ultimately bring in somebody different, that he or she would treat the Attorney General, the Secretary of State, and myself the exact same. If Commissioner La Follette wants something done, I would expect that that person that we hired would get it done for him ASAP. I am on this board constitutionally, as are the other two people on the board, for the next 3 years, 10 months. And I want to make it abundantly clear that I just don't support Tia Nelson as our executive secretary. And I want to call a vote to keep her on, or to remove her from her position, because I think we can find somebody else that will serve the commissioners better and work better for our beneficiaries. And again, it's not anything personal. Somebody might want to say that. I'm sure Tia would probably be well-equipped to handle working at some sort of environmental group or lobbying on environmental causes. It seems to be a passion of hers. She's done it 17 years at the Nature Conservancy and the last 10 years here at the BCPL, but I just don't think that that's the background we need here at the BCPL. I think just the fact that he engaged in all that topics on global warming while on state time, that was a very partisan bill. And I don't expect that we would have an executive secretary, even if he or she had a political leaning, to ever engage on bills that are that partisan. We are a money management fund. We give loans to school districts, we give it to municipalities, and then we give back library aid. That's really all we do. That's what we should be doing, and that's what I want to focus on, and I just frankly don't think that will happen with Tia as our executive secretary.
Okay. We listened, and thank you for your remarks.
Sorry, I tried to go quickly there.
Are you going to make an official motion now?
Yeah, I guess at this point I'd like to make a motion to, I guess, effective immediately remove Tia Nelson as the BCPL executive secretary and install in, let's say, an interim capacity, the deputy secretary to fulfill the duties of the executive secretary until a new person can be named by the full board as our new executive secretary.
Do I hear a second?
I'm going to second this only so that we can have discussion regarding the motion.
The motion is made and seconded by the Attorney General. Brad, I presume you have some discussion.
Well, I do. I understand the objections, but when you discuss the criticism, well, first off, I want to mention several meetings ago we discussed circumstances of the ongoing employment of the executive secretary, and we had decided then that we would undergo as a board an evaluation process. And we discussed doing that in June of this year. Nothing has changed. This information about participation on the Global Warming Task Force and all this, we knew this at that time. Nothing has changed in between now and then. I don't understand why we're not proceeding forward on what we agreed to do previously, which was to undergo a formal evaluation process. You've referred to the executive secretary as your political appointee. I'm not at all comfortable politicizing this work here. It may be objectionable what happened in the past regarding serving on a task force that took away from work time, but we should answer it, and I guess it's the prosecutor in me that doesn't like to convict people without having a hearing, and that's what I think the evaluation process could do for us. You know, we don't know the answer to questions such as whether the previous board was the previous commissioners at the time were aware that the executive secretary was participating in the Global Warming Task Force, whether any of them advised the executive secretary not to do that, whether, in addition to her normal work hours, because she was participating in those meetings, whether she had to use additional time to go additional time beyond her normal work schedule to make up for that time. And frankly, I don't know what that Global Warming Task Force did. I have no idea what. I'd be interested to know more about what its purposes were. You know, I don't think people should have a knee-jerk reaction that global warming exists, nor should they have a knee-jerk reaction that it doesn't exist. And if that's what that task force was up to, trying to make that determination, I don't know that that's necessarily objectionable when the governor asks executive secretary of the BCPL as a person with some considerable expertise in the nature of Wisconsin's forest lands to participate on that. So I'm not prepared to have a motion and a determination right now. We talked about having an evaluation process, and I would like us to move forward with what we previously discussed.
Well, I guess, Commissioner Schimmel, I'd just like to add something that you said off the last part there would be, you know, it's pretty simple to me that this global warming, again, whether the merits of it are one way or the other, I sent some information today that I literally just got under an open records request, that this was basically 20 full days. And this doesn't include the bill that the Democrats put before that, and my point being, I don't really care about global warming. My point being, it's not BCPL business. And we are specifically required as fiduciaries for our beneficiaries to only make sure that we're focusing on our business.
Okay, because of time constraints, I'm going to sort of say that we understand your point. You made it before.
I was making a point that was different, which you interrupted me, but
there's a lot of discussion we could have about this, but
I guess my question would be, the Attorney General mentioned something about June. I guess part of the thing is, as you can tell, when I ask to get things done or when I ask for information, I think that it's obnoxious that I'm not able to get information. I sent an email a few weeks ago to Tia asking for some information about land sales. This was, I got the email right here, it was on February 19th. The email that she responded back to me said, this is a quote, please make your request in a board meeting. So I had asked for some timber sale information. Now, if I as a commissioner cannot get information, how can I make you know, judgments on what we're doing. I and the Attorney General and the Secretary of State, all three of us are responsible for knowing this fund is a $1 billion trust fund. We are responsible for it.
Well,
none of us.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you. It's almost 3 o'clock. I think we understand the points you're making. You've made it before. And as you know from the early discussion, I disagree about that. I think before we send the staff off doing research, at least two board members should agree that that is a valid use of our time and relates to our board business. But we'll see how the new system works. And as we pointed out, if it still doesn't broach the issue, and I'm sort of addressing Brad when I say this, if a board member requests on Monday that the staff do a lot of extensive research on some subject that may take many hours, I'm not really okay with that, but under a procedure that we adopted, that would be permissible. And I think we all understand that. We'll see how problematic that becomes, I guess.
So where are we right now?
Okay, well, at the moment, we're discussing your motion. I want to make a couple of brief remarks, but let me make sure Brad doesn't wish to speak again.
No, thank you.
Okay, I thank you for your remarks. I spent a good amount of time going through these 13 items under agenda item 10, all of which are meant to be the documentation of the treasurer's motion that we're discussing, namely to remove Tia as executive secretary. I could talk about all of them because I've been present on this board for many years and I understand a lot of this. I know about the task force. I was a board member when she was doing that. I know about the forest management certification that the treasurer attacked at an earlier meeting, and at that point I discussed why it was so important. We could not sell some of our timber without that, and there are major timber companies in the north that require that. I could talk about all these items, and I think most of them are spurious. They are really spurious, and I sort of kind of personally resent having had time to go over them for the second or third time. And I will not spend more time on it now, but I will, we'll call for a vote on the motion before us. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
No. Motion failed, 2-1. Let's see. Let me scurry around here. I know we're in a hurry. I think the next item is future agenda items. That point has been made sort of moot now by the decision we made, where board members can bring up anything they want before noon on Tuesday, without having to have it discussed under this item. As I said before, I think that's going to make procedures a little problematic. But I respect the Attorney General's efforts here, and they'll try.
I don't think it's moot at all.
Really?
It's still an opportunity for us at this meeting to map out what we're going to discuss what we might want to discuss at the next meeting without violating the open meetings law. So
that's a good point.
I think there's a purpose to leave it on there.
I sort of retract that. I guess there's two issues here. One, items that today, for example, we know we might want to discuss, and we could bring them up now, as the Attorney General has said, and I think that's a good point, and that would give us time to be prepared, and they would be on the agenda. Then there are items which come up without being discussed now, sometime before noon Tuesday, and those are the ones that I'm concerned about, and we'll see how it goes. Any other discussion or question before we adjourn? Try to give everybody opportunity here. If not,
well,
I would...
As to future agenda items, now,
okay.
We spent an awful lot of time at this meeting trying to resolve procedural issues. We didn't spend much time on items 9 and 10. We can spend more time discussing items 9 and 10 at the next meeting and how we move forward. Right now, I don't think there's a clear plan of action as to how we proceed on the evaluation process, and I think that should be a key agenda item at next meeting, and we should probably try to limit how many other items we put on so that we can get to that.
So are we referring to the evaluation of the executive secretary and looking into it at some point?
I'd like to discuss as a major topic on the agenda for the next meeting how we will conduct the evaluation process. Let's determine how we're going to do this, when we're going to do it, who's going to take the lead on what items, what's going to be relevant, and how we're going to seek input from interested parties as part of that process. So I think we should plan that the next meeting we would do that. I've got to check my calendar and see what kind of time I have available for the meeting in two weeks.
So you would assume that the three commissioners might bring ideas to that item, and we'd also expect the staff to report as to what they have been. I know Tia's already, at the last meeting, she mentioned that she was starting a process to develop an evaluation system.
I contacted DOA and asked for some advice.
Yeah, so she's already talked to DOA about this. So I think your point would be that we would hear what she's accomplished, and we, if we had ideas as to what we would like to have considered, we'd bring those as well. But
let's map it out in the next meeting.
But let me understand that your request is not to rehash whether we should terminate the executive secretary or not.
Yeah, I believe we should conduct an evaluation process.
Right. Yes. So
I don't plan to do this by a vote at a meeting.
Right.
Without first conducting an evaluation. I've been serving on this board for all of 2 months now. For me to make a determination as to whether we are wasting money or losing money or gaining money in how we're conducting our operations in northern Wisconsin, I'm not prepared to make that determination right now. And like I said, it's the prosecutor in me that I want the facts before I make that call.
Okay. I do note here, before I forget, that we received a letter from the Oneida County Economic Development Corporation with a request that we put that in the record. So I would move, I guess I'd request that this be made part of the record as was requested. Brad, my only point was, just to be clear,
that the public had no warning of these things. I think we should, these items that I saw, there were emails this morning with some of these things. Is this one that just arrived today? It's dated today. I hadn't had a chance to read it. I saw that it arrived. Why don't we plan to address these things that are asked to be put on the record at the next meeting?
I just thought because we had received it as a board, we should put it in the record.
Well, I think we can. That's fine. We should probably discuss what they are at the next meeting. Like I said, I haven't had a chance to read them.
Okay. My only question of your request for future agenda items was, and I'll be quite honest about this, I sort of like to avoid having to rehash all these 13 accusations of the executive secretary for the third time. And that's what I was trying to make sure you weren't trying to request that.
This is Matt real quick. I don't think the Attorney General was asking for that. We don't need to discuss it anymore. My whole point was I just wanted to have a vote today. Obviously, we had a temporary, a vote, obviously. I don't support Tia Nelson as our executive secretary. We'll move past it. Obviously, two commissioners have voted the other way. I think what, Commissioner Schimmel was saying, he doesn't want to talk about these things. I'm to assume next time he'd prefer to come up with some sort of rubric on how he wants to evaluate the executive secretary. I've made my evaluation. He obviously needs more time to look at other things. I'm fine with that, but, at least we had a vote today because I just want to make, the Attorney General said something about political appointee, and I only said that because the three of us are politicians. I don't want this board to be political. I agree with that. I'm only saying it's the only way to see the appointee is that three of us, do appoint somebody. So, and again, we were never charged with appointing somebody. We were left with a carryover from previous, and I don't believe Tia has ever received a vote since 2004. So today will be the first day that she ever received a vote on whether or not she should stay since 2004.
Okay.
Okay, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't want to cut anybody off.
I'll second the adjournment.
Okay, did I hear a second, Matt?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, all in favor of adjourning, say aye.
Aye.
Aye, we are adjourned.
Thank you. Everybody.